Good to see all of you on this high day. Most churches believe in the millennium, but there are very different ideas of what that millennium is. The term millennium comes from Revelation 20. We'll start this morning in Revelation 20, so you may turn there. The six verses between verses 2 and verses 7 all contain the term 1,000 years. And Latin for 1,000 is mil, and Latin for year is annum, so we get millennium. So in Revelation 20, I'm going to read verses just 4 through 6. Revelation 20, verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You see, each of those verses contains 1,000 years. And some Christians who look at that have other ideas than the ideas that we have. So today, let's consider the three main views of the millennium and why we are in the premillennialist group. We'll look at the three ideas: amillennialism, postmillennialism, and premillennialism. Those are big, long, fancy words that theologists use. I thought about titling this message, "Ask Your Pastor If Premillennialism Is Right For You." But I thought maybe the simpler title, "Why We Are Premillennialists," would be better. We'll start with the amillennialist. The prefix A means not or without. And so we might get the idea that they believe there is no millennium. But that's not quite accurate. Some prefer the term realized millennialism, because they believe the millennium is realized now, that we are now living in the millennial period. Some of their core beliefs: there will be no literal earthly kingdom of Jesus Christ. Jesus is reigning now, but he's reigning from heaven. The millennium started at his resurrection and ascension, when he took his seat on the throne next to his Father, and it will continue until he returns at the end of the age. From mountainretreat.org, they say the kingdom of Christ on earth is now being extended and advanced through the preaching of the gospel of Christ by his witnesses. And lastly, the resurrection is the convert's change from spiritually dead to spiritually alive. We've been raised with Christ, and therefore all Christians have been resurrected to new life. So why are we not amillennialists? I'm going to come back to Revelation, but I want to go back to Isaiah, to a scripture that we know well. Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. If you've been around the Church of God for any length of time, you will have heard this section many times. In fact, it used to be on the seal of Ambassador College and the church. Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. If you take a peek at verse 1, it's talking about there shall come a rod from the stem of Jesse. It's talking about the Messiah, the coming king, the son of David. And in verses 6 through 9, it says, "The wolf shall lie down with the lamb." Shall dwell with the lamb. "The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together." That's an image that we have talked about pretty much every feast. Verse 8 talks about other creatures, other animals who do that. Verse 7. And then verse 8 talks about the child playing with wild animals and not being hurt. And verse 9, it says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. If we were living in the millennium, we should see these things. And when I look around the world today, I don't see those things. I don't see the peace. I don't see the fact that they're not hurting or destroying in all God's holy mountains. He doesn't say that the earth would be filled with the knowledge of God as the land is covered. You know, a little puddle here, small river there, patches and pieces. It says the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, completely drenched, thoroughly soaked. And that's not the world we see today. And if this is the picture of the millennium, then we can't be living in the millennium now. You see, we believe in an earthly kingdom, as Zechariah mentioned. Let's go over to Zechariah. Zechariah 14, we'll look at verses 3 through 4. And again, if you take a peek at verse 1, it says, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming." This is talking about the return of the Messiah, the King. Verse 3, "Then the Lord will go forth and fight against the nations, as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east." If he's fighting the nations, he's not sitting in heaven. He's down here. He's engaged with his creation. He's coming to rescue it. And it says his feet will touch down on the Mount of Olives. Well, maybe that's a metaphor. An idea, not an actual literal thing. But Zechariah says, which Mount of Olives? The one which faces Jerusalem on the east. The one where he left. The one where the angel said, you'll see him coming back down. And so his kingdom must be on earth. It will be an earthly kingdom. And again, if we take a peek at verse 9, it says, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. He will be here. So that's why we are not amillennialists. What about postmillennialists? This view holds that Jesus Christ will return post or after the millennium. You see, they believe that the church will spread the gospel of the kingdom of God, and as it spreads, morals will improve. The ethics of the world will improve until such a point where the millennium starts, a time of peace and prosperity, covering most of the world under Christian ethics. Jesus reigns, but again, he's in heaven, and he reigns through his people who are on earth while he remains in heaven. Jesus then will return to a peaceful, predominantly Christian society at the end of time. And again, resurrection is the convert's change from spiritually dead to spiritually alive. Well, why are we not post-millennialists? Again, we're here in Zechariah. It says Jesus will reign on earth. It says he will come down, he will touch the Mount of Olives, and at that point, he becomes king over all the world. And he takes the throne of his father David. We've seen that prophecy in places. David's throne was not in heaven. So if Jesus is in heaven, he's not sitting on David's throne now. David's throne was in Jerusalem, and so for him to take David's throne, he must come and sit in Jerusalem. Let's also go to 1 Corinthians 15 for another key point. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the resurrection and what that is, what that means. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 53. 50 through 53. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and thus this mortal must put on immortality." Resurrection is not a conversion of humanity from a spiritually dead state to a spiritually alive state. This is a bodily resurrection that he's discussing. You read the rest of the chapter, he's talking about how our bodies will be changed. In our physical flesh and blood state, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so if this is the millennium that we're living in, or the millennium is going to be established through human efforts, then those who are going to inherit that kingdom can't be in it. Because we are flesh and blood, and we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Resurrection is the change from physical to spirit. A change in our body from mortal to immortal. I'd ask for a show of hands of how many of you are immortal. But I know the response I'd get. None of us. And that change from mortal to immortal happens when? At the last trumpet, at that moment that Jesus returns. And so we cannot be living in the millennium now. So that's why we are not post-millennialists. Well, then the last view is premillennialism. This view holds that Jesus will return pre or before the millennium. From my research, this was the dominant view of the early church through the first, second, and third centuries until Augustine postulated that the church really is the kingdom of God. And so their idea of the millennium changed. And the prophecies changed from literal to figurative. We understand that the world will grow increasingly evil, leading to a time of trouble called the tribulation. Jesus will return to end the tribulation, to subdue his enemies, and to rule all nations, as we said, from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And at that point, the resurrection, the change from mortal to immortal, the saints will be resurrected to rule with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. Now, the dispensationalists add a rapture. They say that a rapture comes to save the saints from the tribulation. We don't see that in the scriptures. So why are we premillennialists? Well, let's go back to Revelation 20 and verse 4 through 6. So this is the primary scripture, but it's not the only place that speaks of the millennium. And verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. That moment when the trumpet sounds, our Savior returns, and we are changed from mortal to immortal. Over such, the second death has no power. Death will nevermore affect the saints who were resurrected to spirit life. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Jesus must return to earth in order for the saints to reign with him for 1,000 years. And so that's why, primarily why we are premillennialists. Another blessing that we have is we understand the holy days. And we are here today celebrating the Feast of Trumpets, picturing the return of Jesus Christ. And that comes before the Feast of Tabernacles, picturing that millennial rule for 1,000 years. And also because of the holy days, we understand verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. We have a hope that most of the world does not have. For all of those who have gone before, all of those who have never understood, have never had an opportunity to learn the ways of peace and to become sons and daughters of God. So, why are we premillennialists? We believe that the Messiah will stand on the Mount of Olives, as Zechariah has said. We believe that the physical world will be restored, and that personal and national relationships will be healed under the rule of Jesus Christ, as Isaiah has said. And we believe that the saints will rule with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years in his kingdom, as John has said.